There's been times where I've seen it have taken so long that people have actually put their loved ones in the car, bleeding to death, trying to get them to the hospital. I've seen that.
Sharina Thomas and her friend Leslie Phillips are co-founders of a group called the People's Community Medics. Its goal is to train citizens in basic first aid so that they can help people as they wait for emergency responders. Reporter Allie Budner and her editor Martina Castro decided to dig deeper into why the community medics feel like they can't rely on a system so many of us take for granted. So in this excerpt from her upcoming documentary, Allie starts by tracing the path of a 911 call.
So once you dial 911, if you're calling from a cell phone, you'll talk to this guy.
My name is Rick Rocha.
Or one of his colleagues.
A CHP dispatcher.
CHP stands for California Highway Patrol. They answer all of Oakland's 911 calls from cell phones. Right now, we're in CHP's giant call center in Vallejo. It's about 30 miles north of Oakland. The dispatchers here answer calls from all nine Bay Area counties.
Okay. Anybody injured?
Needless to say, they are busy.
So I go 911 emergency, where you're porting?
Rick Rocha sits at a station with four computer screens, two keyboards, and two mice. He uses all of them to get information about you and your emergency.
Then I hit a button that sends that information immediately over to the radio, and from there, I am completely done with my particular part of the job.
When he says the radio, he means this other dispatcher sitting across the room under a wall of colorful highway maps. She has a radio connection to other agencies. So if you're calling from the scene of a crime, like a shooting, then she'll transfer you to another dispatch center.
All right, Lenny, hold on just a second. Let me get you over to Oakland Police, okay?
And zoom. We go from Vallejo to the OPD dispatch center in East Oakland.
Oakland Police, dispatcher 90.
Olivia Moy receives the call at her computer station in the crowded call center.
That's correct.
How much time usually goes in, by in between calls that you get?
Depending on the day and the time, I would say maybe less than a minute.
When Olivia picks up, be prepared to answer a series of questions. And yes, you may have already been asked the same questions earlier by Rick Rocha. Basically, that's to make sure the details don't change or get lost in this big game of telephone.
Doesn't mean we're not sending the police out. It just means we need to know this information to tell the police officers to, let's say, catch the suspects as they're running away so the police don't drive past.
Now that Olivia has your information in the computer, she pushes a button and sends it to the other side of the room, to
Willene Jones. I am a 911 dispatcher here, so I'm looking at the severity of the call, what type of call it is, the person who's involved, any guns, weapons, so on and so forth.
Where Olivia talks to the callers, Willene is talking directly to the police officers out on the street. She's kind of like a director behind the scenes. She and the dispatchers use a series of codes to decide which calls in front of her take priority.
So sirens is code 3, no sirens is code 2. So that's how they kind of, you know, they get that intel from me to turn them on, turn them off.
But these directions can change as emergencies unfold in real time.
Driving down the street sometime, you see an officer turn the sirens on. He go like a block or two and he turns them off. And you're like, oh, he just did that to get through traffic. Well, what it really is I'm saying to him, go lights and sirens. And then something comes on that call that tells me he no longer needs to do that. And I'll tell him, turn your sirens off and just go code 2.
Willene says often callers get impatient or frustrated with her as they wait for help.
They're being robbed, they're being shot at, they're walking in seeing something excessively devastating for them. You're sitting behind a desk asking all of these questions, and in their mind, I don't want to answer the questions, I want to cop. And trying to get them to understand my conversation with them doesn't stop the officers from driving.
Okay, so just to recap a bit, you've called 911, and the first person you talked to was Rick Rocha.
911 emergency, where you're porting?
Then you were transferred to another dispatcher at the California Highway Patrol, and that dispatcher sent you to Olivia Moy with the Oakland Police Department.
Okay, Andrew, I can't guarantee when we'll have an available officer, but we'll send someone as soon as we can.
And then you were bounced across the room to Willene Jones, who sent your information to a police officer in the streets.
I'm saying to him, go lights and sirens.
That's four dispatchers so far. And if you told Olivia Moy that someone on the scene was hurt, then you'd already have been transferred to another dispatch center at the Oakland Fire Department in downtown Oakland.
Oakland Fire Department. What's the address of your emergency?
Firefighters are the designated first responders to any medical emergency, and of course fires. They're all trained to be emergency medical technicians, or EMTs, and at least one member of each crew is also a paramedic who has more advanced medical training. When your call reaches the fire department's dispatch center, you might talk to
communications dispatcher Terry Woodard. So basically right now, when people call in, you do what's called case entry, ask them the address, the phone number, exactly what happened. You know, somebody was shot. How old are they? Are they awake?
Of course, among the calls for medical emergencies, some have nothing to do with violent crimes. Terry answers one from a school where a student is having an allergy attack from eating a cookie.
Okay, and now let me ask you this. Is he completely alert?
This call skipped OPD and came directly to the fire department.
Does he have difficulty breathing or swallowing?
Terry sends this information to a dispatcher across the room, who then sends it to the fire engine closest to the scene and over to the next call center. Yes, there's another one. It's up at the Livermore Lab in the Oakland Hills, and they alert the ambulance paramedics.
So basically right now, just reassure him, let him know the help's on the way. Don't let him have anything to eat or drink.
Now, as a side note, this is the one part of Oakland's 911 response that's not government-run. It's provided by the private company Paramedics Plus.
Don't move your head. Any pain in your head when I touch your head?
No.
Any pain in your head when I touch your neck?
No.
Any pain in your back when I touch your back?
By the time the ambulance is on its way, two more dispatchers have handled your call. So that's a total of four call centers and eight dispatchers before it's over. Depending on your emergency, a combination of police cars, fire trucks, and ambulances could all be dispatched to the same scene. Now, that's if all goes smoothly. But there's a number of things that could complicate a call. If the caller doesn't speak English, that slows things down. They have to get an interpreter. Or the cell reception might be bad. There could be a fire somewhere in the city or major traffic that could slow down the responders. And then there are the human errors. Dispatchers are often overworked and sleep-deprived, and that can lead to typos and other errors that can translate into seconds of delay. It's confusing, fast-moving work, and Terry Woodard, one of these many dispatchers, admits it's far from perfect.
We make mistakes.